for suits?
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
What's up, and welcome back to the Oral Pleasure Podcast, the podcast for the short attention span. I'm your host, Billy Rutledge, for the 16th episode here presented by iHeartRadio. And today we have a very special guest. He's a local legend here in Louisville and big time here at iHeartMedia. His name is Terry Miners. Terry, how are you doing today?
Billy, I am thrilled to be on here, but you say that about every guest, that you have this very special guest. And I don't really feel special. I mean, there's no fancy fruit plate here. There's no water. You know, we don't have any popping music going on in here. So this is a little dry. I think maybe you're pulling my leg. Who fell out on you? You had somebody else lined up and they quit on you. Is that what it is?
No, I've actually waited to talk to you for a while now, Terry. We tried to do it a little bit earlier, but I came down with something. So I'm glad we could finally able to do it. Terry is a radio and TV personality for WHAS and WHAS-TV. His Terry Miners Show, weekdays from 3 to 6, has been on since 1985.
Oh, my God.
Here in Louisville. Does that make you feel old a little bit, Terry?
It really does. I am old. I'm 106, but it's okay.
All right, so let me explain the podcast to you and the listeners who don't know how it's done. We have three sound bites. We'll react to them all, and then after that, we'll try to do it all in 30 minutes. Sound good?
Perfect.
All right, let's see what we got up first.
That proves the point that if you work your tail off and have a great attitude every single day, that your dreams can be met and they will come true, because I'm living that dream right now, University of Louisville. Our doors are open, all right? The closed doors no longer. We're going to open it up for these high school coaches to come in here. We have nothing to hide.
That sound of the new University of Louisville football coach, Scott Satterfield, coming from Appalachian State to be the new coach, replacing Bobby Petrino. Our guest today, Terry Miners, is a celebrity here in the Louisville area and has had spent decades covering the University of Louisville basketball, football, and athletics as a whole. Terry, kind of what were your first thoughts when Scott Satterfield took over?
I was thrilled to hear that, because it has been closed in the past, particularly with the Bobby Petrino regime. John L. Smith was wide open. Charlie Strong was like that too, like, shields up, you know, not allowing anybody to see anything and all that paranoia. So to have Scott Satterfield come in here and say, you know what, we're going to open things up, let the sun shine in, it lets us all know it's a brand new day at the University of Louisville. And I think he's sincere about keeping it that way. In the past, though, we knew right away, don't even ask. You're not coming into practice. They were acting like they were guarding the nuclear codes behind the walls of the fence. It was like, come on, it's football. There's not that much to it.
Well, the Courier Journal article that came out about Bobby Petrino saying he wouldn't travel 10 minutes to go visit some of these recruits locally. And then also in the Courier Journal, it comes out that Scott Satterfield has revoked the scholarship of up to four recruits for the 2019 season. Terry, I actually heard you talking a little bit about this on your show yesterday. Fair or foul for a new coaching regime to take away scholarships this close to National Signing Day?
It's absolutely fair, because the responsibility lies upon the coaching staff, not just the head coach, but the whole coaching staff. And so they come in and they have their own vision. Every school has its own vision collectively. That's why they put together these ensembles of coaches. They talk about what their vision is, what kind of offense they want to run, and what kind of defensive sets they're going to have, and all that business. And so when you come to a new school and then all of a sudden you're told, hey, by the way, Cousin Eddie and his kids are here, they're staying with you, they're automatically tacked to you. It's like, no Cousin Eddie. He doesn't fit into what we're doing here. So no offense. And I don't know why the families are acting so shocked. They saw Bobby Petrino was fired. They knew right away, okay, we got to put our antenna up and start wondering whether we're going to stay here. That happens every time there's a change at any school. I didn't understand the whole wig out over that whole deal.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you, Terry. It's kind of a bad look, but at the same time, it's not the responsibility of Satterfield and the coaching staff to recruit the same guys that Bobby Petrino and the coaching staff was recruiting, because, hey, you may not need those guys. You may go a completely different direction. So I happen to agree with you there.
You are doing them a favor as well, because you're sending them into an opportunity to go somewhere where their skill set is better matched.
Right. So Scott Satterfield will replace Bobby Petrino as the new head coach at the University of Louisville. But that's not really the only turnover that's happened at the University of Louisville over the past three, 4 years. Chris Mack has replaced Rick Pitino. Vince Tyree has become the new athletic director with Tom Jurich. And also the new president of the University of Louisville, Neely Bendapudi, replacing James Ramsey. Add on John Schnatter, and this is a ton of turnover. And it's just crazy to think how things have changed in just under a decade.
Well, Billy, it's like they pressure washed the University of Louisville. It had gathered a lot of, what do you call it, on the deck? Oh, scum. Is that the word? I'm just kidding. But yes, there was a massive turnover necessary. And a lot of that had to do with one name you just mentioned there, and that's Dr. James Ramsey, who was the president, because he green-lighted so many things like the buying of properties with monies raised for other purposes, but they were in the real estate business. I mean, really? You're a university. What's that all about? The FBI came in and said, hey, this money was granted for whatever research, and we see it got spent here and there and not for the intended purpose. So we had that scandal already rolling of not unaccounted for research money, but misplaced or perhaps misused research money. That happened under Ramsey's umbrella. They started taking money out of the foundation that they shouldn't have for other purposes, like I just mentioned, real estate and other bonuses and golden parachutes and all this crazy stuff. So he had to go. You cut the head of the snake off and see what happens. And then Neely Bendapudi's been the greatest hire that Louisville's put in place.
I'd agree, she has.
Because, obviously, it brings in a female perspective and the perspective of a minority. There's not enough minority leadership in positions like hers. And so she gives this city a whole fresh look. Her story is mind-boggling, the way she was raised. I mean, dirt poor. And, you know, made her way to America because her father came over here to get educated. And he went back home and said, we're all going to America. We're going to get an education. We're going to make something of ourselves. And she did that. Hard work in a situation where a lot of her friends did not thrive in her native land. And so she's here and brings a very genteel spirit and a curiosity about everything. But she says, I want us to have athletic success, but we're going to do it with integrity.
And how quickly she acted to the John Schnatter situation, I think really showed me that she was the right person for the job and she can act without having to ask somebody's permission to do something.
There are a lot of people who would absolutely roll over for a donor who has hundreds of millions of dollars who can be helpful to you when you need them. Some problem crops up and you need $10 million, you can just call somebody, yeah, done. And to cut that loose was tough, but you have to stand on principle. I interviewed John Schnatter when all that came up, and I asked him, why didn't you use the phrase N-word instead of actually using the word? And he didn't really have a good answer for that. That was the dumbest miscalculation of somebody in his position. However, it wasn't his only. He'd already made a misstep talking about players kneeling in the NFL and how that was driving away business because it was driving away eyeballs from NFL games, which means fewer people calling to order pizzas. And then he complained about health insurance for employees. That was several years ago. So it was like strike one, strike two, and strike three. So she did the right thing here, separating Louisville from John Schnatter.
Terry Miners is our guest here on the Oral Pleasure podcast, radio and television personality for WHAS and WHAS-TV. Terry, before we move on to the next soundbite, I want to say that you have been a staple in this community for quite a while, and I hate to harp on that and how old you are, but I want to talk about your relationship with Rick Pitino and some of these guys that have been ousted out.
He's older than I am. Let's keep everything in perspective. He's an old man to me. But yes, you're right, Billy. I am old. What do you want to know about Pitino?
Was it hard to be so close to someone and have a relationship with them and to see them kind of go through the darkness and kind of go through everything that he has, where ultimately it leads to him leaving the university and kind of a disgrace?
Yeah, absolutely. He's completely disgraced, and I felt terrible for him. However, he got himself into that position. Rick is great at preaching to everybody to work hard and get great results, and he took his eye off the ball himself. And that doesn't make me love him any less. I'm glad that he's been able to crawl through this nightmare that, you know, is self-inflicted in a certain respect because of the incident at Porcini. I have to use the word incident. We all know what I'm talking about. But, you know, I don't want to rub his face in that again. But he got himself into that mess. And then along comes the Andre McGee thing. I still in my heart of hearts believe that he did not know about that, but it makes him look dumb and disconnected.
At Minority Hall.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, strippers coming into Minority Hall. Other people tell me I'm crazy. You are crazy. He knew that was going on. He just turned his back to it. Whatever. We all know what went on now, and proper judgment was initiated when Neely Bhinnapudi and the new crew came in here and said, after the FBI deal came up, that's the end.
Yeah, and three strikes, you're out. I think he could have survived the FBI thing if it was just that, but a change needed to be made.
Exactly, because he's not implicated in the FBI thing. It's just the Bowen family was getting money, and Kenny Johnson, who's an assistant coach, gave them some money. But Pitino, had they had anything on Pitino, they'd have taken him away in handcuffs. They have nothing there, but Rick already had mounting troubles, and that just broke the camel's back.
All right, let's see what we got up next.
Live from the iHeartMedia Purple Tower of Power, it's the Terry Miner Show.
There you have the 3 p.m. intro of the Terry Miner Show, 3 to 6 on 840 WHAS every weekday since 1985. Terry's my guest here on the Oral Pleasure Podcast. Terry, your face is plastered all throughout the halls here at iHeartRadio. There's actually a private bathroom where there's a mural to you. I think it was a newspaper article, but it's a good 4 or 5 pages.
Yeah, it is.
On the wall.
I have no idea who put that there, but I think they're making fun of me because they know that people are urinating and standing there looking at me up on the wall, so they think that's appropriate. I'm fine with it. Whatever they want to do to me is fine. They also have a picture of me I saw on the sports department when I started here in 1985, so they're making fun of me for being old, but that's okay. I've survived a lot of stuff here.
Well, tell me about why you wanted to get into radio. What made you interested in kind of your first steps coming into iHeartRadio?
When I was a little kid, my dad was a truck driver, and I would occasionally get to go ride with him in the truck, and I thought it was so cool and so great. And then when we would drive along sometimes in the car or whatever, in the family car, and he'd have the radio on, and he'd hear this guy named Bill Bailey on the radio in the morning and laugh at him. My dad thought he was hilarious. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool that a guy can either drive a truck for a living or he can talk on the radio or sit there and talk about the news on TV. And I'd look at the guy on TV, Fred Wishy at the time, who was the news anchor, and say, that's for me. I didn't want to drive a truck.
And do you have a preference, radio or television? Do you have one that you find that you attract
to? Radio's better. Radio and podcasting are great because you know what's happening right now? People listening to us on this podcast, they're paying attention. Words matter. Intonation matters. You know, if you say something quietly or you say something with ferocity, people listen. They pay attention to the emotions involved in it. TV can oftentimes be wallpaper. You know, it's just something that's on and people sort of bob in and out. I love talk radio because, again, the product that we're making, the widgets we make at our factory are words. So people are listening to what you are saying.
Yeah, that intimate relationship between the host and the listener, something that's can be really hard to find. And as I start to go through this business and I learn the names of Tony Vannetti's and Terry Miner's and Tony Cruz's, I'm learning more and more. It's about making that connection, making that relationship, and, you know, the guy listening to it in his dad's truck and someday wanting to go into that field.
Exactly right. Well, I think it's a great thing, and somebody like you is perfect coming along at your age. You're smart to be in here and learning from other people. I learn from people who are ahead of me on the path, and that works in whatever career you want in life. If you want to be a nurse, if you want to be an accountant, if you want to be somebody who works with their hands as a landscaper, whatever it is, go seek out people who've already done that stuff, or at least they're already 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, and they will paint perfect pictures for you right away because they already have a history of knowledge. That's the best advice you can give anybody to pursue any career. Go walk ahead of the path. Just leapfrog ahead, find people who are doing it, and ask them to tell you about themselves, and they will.
That advice you can only find here on the Oral Pleasure Podcast.
That's right. Oral Pleasure!
What do you think about the name?
Does that work? Fantastic. It's you. It fits your personality.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I mean, I get the pun, the innuendo, of course.
So now, besides working on the Terry Miner Show with you, me and you got to go out at the last Kentucky Derby in the pouring rain and go out and ask some people in the infield what they thought about the day. Kentucky Derby is such a big event here in Louisville. Do you look back on your career in radio and television and find highlights like that that you look back and you appreciate?
I think what I like the most, though, is interviewing people that are
a little inebriated.
Going through transitions in life. The Derby stuff, I rarely remember a lot of that stuff. It's just, you know, it's kind of fly by night. That's what I call my Niagara Falls part of my career. It's just whoosh, as soon as it's over, it's water over the dam, gone.
Yeah.
But I've interviewed a lot of people who've been in tough transitions in life or shining moments in life. They've just won something, they won a tournament, or their child is sick and they need help. And to pull people out when they're really at their emotional peak or valley is what makes, again, radio broadcasting so great, because people can hear the pain, they hear the joy, and attach themselves to it. And oftentimes we create reaction. Whereas today you have GoFundMe as an example of a way people can support others. This radio station at one time, that we had a massive snow, and there was a girl here that needed a critical operation but had to be flown to another part of America. Well, we couldn't get her to the airport. Our streets were so covered with snow. Mm-hmm. So we came on this station and asked people if they could shovel a parking lot so we could land a helicopter there to carry this child over to Louisville International Airport where, wow, the runway was cleared. People just came from all over, and they're just walking through the snow with shovels, and people were out there directing them, shovel here. And they cleared a space, the helicopter landed, took the kid, saved her life.
Do you ever think about the kind of power that you have like that?
Well, I mean, that's the radio station. That's this community. People answer. But I love when things like that happen, because that makes a difference. Telling jokes is one thing, but saving somebody, well, there's nothing better than that.
Well, back in 1985, you had an official title. This is on the mural in the bathroom, so I've read it several times. It's Wisecrack, Wiseacre. Wiseacre. What is that? I'm trying to
Wiseacre is just an expression that just means somebody who's a smart aleck. That's all.
And that was something you wanted to be when you
grew up? Yes. Weisenheimer, I think, is the German expression there. He's a Weisenheimer. I had a teacher say that to me a few times. And then I've also referred to myself as WHAS's ninth best announcer, and I'm still holding that position proudly. I've never moved up to number 8 and don't want to.
All right, what do we got next?
I just got a call from the Academy, and that call basically said, Kevin, apologize for your tweets of old, or we're going to have to move on to find another host. Talking about the tweets from 2009-2010. I chose to pass. I passed on the apology. The reason why I passed is because I've addressed this several times.
If we're bringing up old things and we're requesting apologies, then I feel like everyone needs to apologize.
There you hear Kevin Hart and Nick Cannon talking about the recent controversy where Kevin Hart had to step down from hosting the 91st Oscars planned for March 4th in 2019 after anti-gay tweets resurfaced from Kevin Hart in 2009 in 2010. Terry Miners is our guest here on the Oral Pleasure podcast. And Terry, this is something that's becoming much more common in 2018 in the digital age today. We're going back, we're finding things and mistakes that people made in the past, and we're making them pay for it today. Right or wrong, again, that it, for the Academy getting mad about Kevin Hart, something he did in 09.
I love what Nick Cannon had to say about this. And Kevin Hart, I'm a big fan, first off. So my bias is I love Kevin Hart as a performer, and I love Nick Cannon as a performer. He actually works for our company. He was doing a radio show for iHeart in New York City. I don't know if he's still doing it.
Co-workers.
But yeah, that's right. He never shows up for the DJ meetings. But what's important for us, and there was a baseball player from Milwaukee last summer.
Josh
they
Hader.
Were hammering him. Who was it?
Josh Hader.
Right. And then the kid that just won the Heisman Trophy, Kyler Murray.
Yep.
You know what? People do evolve. Kevin Hart's Instagram, where he said, you know, he's there looking at you. If you don't believe people can evolve, I'm almost 40 years old, and people evolve and change. He's absolutely right. We've all been around that one guy who, and you're too young for this, Billy, but when you get 40, you see some people that you went to high school with, and you think, oh, my God, they're still stuck in high school. I mean, mentally. Mm-hmm. And I'm 60. And you'll still find some people that are still caught in that era where it's like they haven't given up that, you know, oh, remember when we beat the blah, 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 or whatever. And it's like, dude, I mean, come on. That's 40 years ago. But it's like some people, it's arrested development. What Kevin Hart and Nick Cannon and others are saying is, I'm not the person from 10 years ago. And what's not fair about this is, the world wasn't like that in 2009. Mm-hmm. You know, the sensitivity issue about LGBTQ issues, I'm all on board for that. I'm a supporter of LGBTQ and have been a long time. Some of my best friends from childhood, one of them is, he's been married 35 years now. And I've had him on the radio multiple times to talk about his marriage and why he and the man he's married to have been cheated out of tax credits. Let's just keep the, you know, all the other personal stuff out of it. The tax situation's unfair. They should have been able to report as a married couple for 35 years, but they couldn't. And they're cheated out of tens of thousands of dollars in tax credits. And that's unfair. So we just started on that premise and worked away from it. Going back to these guys' tweets. So what? That's you look at an artist of some note who's made it over the years. They hate hearing their early tapes.
Yeah.
They hear those and they go, I cringe when I hear.
Writers, too. Yeah.
Exactly. Writers, their early work, musicians, artists, all those people, they most of the time will say, oh, my God. And it's just horrible. And so they go back. And what Nick Cannon pointed out was correct in that he started saying, hey, looky here, Amy Schumer. Yeah. Hey, Sarah Silverman. You know, hey, Chelsea Handler, remember this? Mm-hmm. They were using homophobic slurs and tweets. And it's not the end of the world, but it was important that Nick Cannon say, you know what, everybody's got this kind of stuff, but you're just hammering Kevin Hart. And other people answer, well, Amy Schumer wasn't asked to host the Oscars. It doesn't matter. Stop trying to pillory people for something 10 years ago when the world was different. Now we use the phrase woke. So nobody was woke or very few in 2009. And I just think it's overbearing. We are living in the age of overcorrection. And a lot of times it's people who have their own sins, their own past, which you'd love to be able to call up. And they're just trying to get some weird thrill out of persecuting someone else, when really I'd love to be able to turn the lens around and say, let's take a look at you in 2009.
And unfortunately, that usually happens when these people reach their highest moment. It was right when Josh Hader made the All-Star game when those tweets came out. It was right before the NFL draft when Josh Allen's tweets came out. So people have this, and then they're sitting on it until they win the Heisman Trophy for them to make it a news story and get publication about it. So let me ask you this, Terry. As the wise arc of News Radio 840 WHAS, there is an evolution of not only just life as a whole and being woke in 09 and not, but comedy. Comedy has really seemed to change, and I don't think you can tell the same jokes today that you did in 2009. So how have you adapted to comedy on your show weekdays from 3 to 6 on 840?
I have to. You know, I mean, I have, just because the world, I'm more sensitive to lots of things that I wasn't 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15, 20. I've done this. I'm in my 34th year in this show. Well, clearly it's a different universe. And some people will walk up to me at a gas station or whatever and say, well, I really used to like when you did blah, 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 or whatever. And they throw in the name of some sketch. Well, that wouldn't work today. It just wouldn't. Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't. It was a different world. But the problem for a lot of social justice warriors are they're putting on this lens where they're seething and they want to punish somebody right now because but they're using 2018, the 2018 universe, and applying it to 1995, 2002, 2010, whatever it is, and it's not fair.
Yeah.
You have to live in the moment. If somebody tells a joke today that's homophobic, racist, you know, xenophobic, something, well, you take them to task for that now. But if it was 9 years ago, it's a different world.
So you don't agree with punishing these people for things that they did?
No, it's okay to call them up, but to act like, well, you can't have a job now. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Roseanne.
Yeah.
I've never watched the Roseanne show, but I saw that whole thing happen so quickly. It was like she inferred that Valerie Jarrett was an ape. Well, good Lord. You knew that 60 years ago that you couldn't equate somebody to that 70 years ago, 80, whatever. You know, you go back through time. So that was an idiot thing to do. And excuse me. And then what did she blame it on? Ambien or something?
Yeah.
So that's idiocy. But how long should the persecution remain? Should Roseanne never work again? You know, I don't agree with that. I think that she learned a harsh lesson. It cost her a lot of money in that show. And so the punishment was necessary there, but it shouldn't be everlasting.
And a big amplifier of this problem in the society we live in today, I think, is social media. Yes or no, more people lose jobs on Twitter than gain them.
That's a good question. I don't really know the balance on that, but people do write horrible things on Twitter, and I don't understand why. They say things to me sometimes they would never say to me in Kroger. It's silly. It's so gutless.
It's like the gas station bathroom of the internet. It really is. It's a cesspool of negativity. And if it wasn't for our jobs, Terry, for having to promote ourselves and the guests and when we're doing it, I wouldn't be on Twitter. I wouldn't be on social media.
I agree with you, bro.
Terry, I want to thank you so much for joining the Oral Pleasure podcast. I also want to hit you with a little bit of rapid fire before we end the show. Is that okay?
Go ahead.
All right. First car.
Plymouth. What was it? A Dodge Coronet made by Plymouth.
What year did you get that?
Senior in high school. And I had a car that wasn't really mine. I got to use for a few years. You could see through the floor. So that one doesn't count. The first one I paid for senior in high school.
Favorite place to eat in Louisville?
Yeah. There's a lot of great places. I'm going to say my own kitchen because Mary cooks really well.
That's a good answer. I hope she's listening and she hears that. First job that you had?
Paper boy. I love being a paper boy because it taught me. It was the first time I got off my own block. You know what I mean? You know your people. You know the lady over there and your next door neighbor and this person.
Yeah.
But when you're a paper boy, you meet 150 people because back in the day then, you would collect the money. So you'd knock on the door and somebody would answer and you'd say, hello. And then an old lady would say, could you come in here and help me? I got to move this piece of furniture or get that bowl down from that shelf. And they'd try to give you money or cookies. I'd say, I don't need anything. Just glad to help. But it expands your worldview because you see, oh, these people like dogs. These people like cats. This house smells like dogs. This this house needs a cleaning. This house is spick and span. That kind of stuff.
Most famous person in your phone?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence. Now, my KSR fans would be remiss if I did not ask you about Jennifer Lawrence.
Go ahead.
Is there any way that you can let me know when she comes into the studio?
I don't know that she's going to come into this studio.
Oh, not coming in.
And I don't know that she would. She lives. I love her. I've known her since she was a teenager, and she is still the same funny person. She's learned some harsh lessons because that kind of intense fame, people just crush you. And you just, I just feel for her sometimes that it's. She loves acting, and she loves. The whole part of it that is the studying and the learning and the delivery and the different kinds of things. She's a student of the craft. I mean, she really, really loves it. The rest of it, she's dealt with very well. I mean, the intense fame, the scrutiny is nonstop. And I kind of feel for her. I just wish she could escape somewhere and be left alone for. That's why she's not making movies right now. She just needed a little time to just, every time she walks out of the building, it's just insane.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that kind of fame and what it would do to you, just everything being under a microscope. But
She's a good egg, though. I mean, people get mad at her about politics or whatever, but that's part of show business, too. She's a good soul.
From right here in Louisville, Kentucky as well. All right, two more. Best concert that you've been to?
That's tough. I've seen a lot of great ones over the years. U2... is that the best? I don't know. The Stones, I've seen them a bunch of times over the years. I did get to meet The Who after they did their final tour, but I think Led Zeppelin's the one that I want and I've never seen. So my favorite concert of all time is the Led Zeppelin show that I imagine in my head.
Okay. All right. And final one, if you were not in radio, what would you do?
It would be in regard to helping people. I don't know if I'd be a social worker or some sort of a counselor, but I love people and I love interplay and talking and so all that stuff would be great.
Terry Miners, weekdays from 3 to 6 on 840 WHAS and also the host of Great Day Live, has been our guest here on the Oral Pleasure podcast. Terry, thank you so much. All right, that's going to do it for us. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Billy R Sports. You can subscribe to the Oral Pleasure podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Spreaker.com. Now, you know what time it is. It's time for the Sounds of the Week.
They throw it down. They try to pitch it, and they do. Parker pitches it. And it's strike! Strike! 30! 20! Gronkowski's got a tackle! Oh, that's it! He got it in the end zone! Touchdown!
The Dolphins win it!
Unbelievable!
Are you kidding me?
20 times you have called for, I will shut down the government if I don't get my wolf. None of us have
you
said
you want to know something?
You've said
okay,
it.
Okay, you want to put that
you
on my...
You said it.
I'll take it.
Okay, good.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay,
absolutely.
Fair enough.
Here's B.J. Washington. He can run the baseline. Throws it midcourt. Keldon Johnson!
Football team is going to come down here ready to play. We're going to practice really hard. We're going to play really hard. I hope that we play well, but I know that we'll play hard. And we're going to find out about Duke, and we're going to find out about Temple, and we're going to find out about which one of those football clubs wants to hit each other harder or longer. That's what we're going to decide here on the 27th.
I didn't even realize that we were tied 15-15 coming into today's game until this morning. It's just, you know, it's just a storybook. I mean, it's just a storybook, and you can't even, you know, we got great writers here in Hollywood, and I don't even know if they'd be able to write this one.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. We do not own any of the audio or music played in today's show. Credit to HBO, ABC News, and iHeartRadio. And we'll see you next time.